You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the relationship engineers, Jim Golnick and Lisette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio. Welcome to 90 Day Soulmate with Lisette
and Jim.
Today we're going to be talking about a very famous author who is probably the father of many motivational speakers. Would you say? Would you think?
Yeah, 50 years ago.
Do you think that could be true?
Yeah.
It could be. Many years ago, I believe he was born in, what was that, like 1893 and passed away in 1970, or maybe it was 1883. We'll actually look at that, but we're going to be talking about Napoleon Hill, and we've created a subject called To Think or Not to Think. Of course, we probably all have heard of his famous book.
Yeah.
I remember reading it when I was 20 years old, Think and Grow Rich. Many pages, highlights, and underlines. You remember that book?
Yeah.
Some very interesting concepts, and we're going to share some of those concepts with you. What we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of a biography of Napoleon Hill, like who he was, what he was involved in. We're going to talk about some controversy, because he may not be everything people say he is, but, or and, at the same time, the principles that are within the book we'll look at to see, do they make sense? Are they sound? Are they psychologically beneficial?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Let's do it.
So we'll go on to the first slide, his biography. Let's see where we are there. Early life. He was born in 1883, not 1893, 1883 in rural Virginia. He grew up in poverty, didn't have a lot of money. He had a passion for writing. He started writing at 13, laying the foundation for his later career. Interestingly enough, you know, it sounds, oh, he started early. My guess is back in 1883, at the age of 13, you probably were a bit more highly educated in public school, maybe. It wasn't starting early in a career. You're actually probably going to work at the age of 13,
mm-hmm.
right? You need to work.
Yeah.
And writing was probably a tough career.
Yes. No, the searching information is different than right now.
Yeah. So, no Googling.
No Google, no AI, nothing
no
to
AI.
Support. Yes.
No JI.
From scratch.
Yeah. No Jim, no Lisette.
Mm-hmm.
So had to find all this information on his own or understand where to research it. And I think you were telling me that he would spend time reading in the library.
Yeah, so I read some article years ago. They suppose his mama working and left him in the Bible in the library.
In the library.
And he passed hours reading book.
So gaining specialized knowledge in different areas, mm-hmm. maybe how to write, how to be a writer, different subjects that he was interested in.
Yeah. But
getting knowledgeable, learning,
mm-hmm.
which is actually going to be part of what we're going to talk about. What else? He had an educational path. He had briefly attended a business school, showing early interest in business. Okay. So he also founded some businesses early on. He founded ventures like Acre Hill Lumber Company and the Automobile College of Washington. And by the way, the Automobile College of Washington is one of those that if you research what actually happened there, it was very short-lived. And some people said that it really wasn't anything than a get-rich-quick scheme trying to entice students to learn how to be drivers. And what I was listening to a podcast on this and looking some stuff up online as well, some articles. Supposedly, he would get students to work for free for companies to learn how to be drivers and pay And so work for free, kind of like getting, learning how to do it, and pay to become a driver. And so it, with the enticement of making a whopping $4,800 a year, which back then was a lot of money.
Okay.
$4,800 a year, that's probably $100,000
okay.
today. It goes on and on with that. But the point is he kept on going after different businesses, learning, trying to figure out ways to help himself as well as help others through his writing, in fact. What else do we have here? He learned from failure. Despite multiple failed businesses, Hill used these experiences to refine his ideas. He had a growth mindset. And also that psychological research shows that learning from failure promotes resilience and long-term success. So if you don't mind failing because you know you're going to learn something about it, you'll try something.
Yeah, yeah. So the not do anything is more dangerous than failure.
You're 100% guaranteed a failure if you don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You may not be successful if you try something,
yeah.
but you'll learn something.
Yeah.
And then if you learn something and you fail and you try again and you fail and you try, you develop that. It's like getting back on the bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
Soon you'll ride the bicycle. What else do we know? So his big claim to fame in the book Think and Grow Rich was he had the opportunity to meet with Carnegie, Andrew Carnegie, the steel magnate, who had, I guess, one of the highest quantity of wealth in the United States, if not the world, back then. And he learned from Andrew Carnegie the secrets to wealth.
Okay.
So we'll also talk about that. It was a challenge of a lifetime. Carnegie tasked Hill with documenting the principles of success. So, hey, I'm going to tell you some stuff, write it down. I'm going to introduce you to some people, ask them questions, write this stuff down, and then you can share it with other people. Social cognitive theory, why is this good from a psychological standpoint, is that learning from mentors increases motivation and skill development. If you see somebody who is successful and you learn their techniques and you learn their skills and you learn what they did to do this, it gives you a positive, it's almost like a vision board in a way.
Yeah.
A live vision board.
Mm-hmm. You use this technique.
You use this technique.
Mm-hmm.
Similar. So these, and that's the point of this is despite the controversy, a lot of these techniques work and they have psychological foundations. So he himself may or may not have been as successful as he wanted to be, but the core of those pieces, I know that I, myself, and Lizette have used these in our life separately and now together to be able to come up with new information, new ideas, specialized knowledge.
Yeah.
We'll talk about specialized knowledge. What else do we have going on with Mr. Napoleon Hill? The book Think and Grow Rich was published in 1937. So at that point in time, I'm going to do some quick math. He was 54 years old. So it took him some time before he wrote this book. This is a culmination of many years of research and learning. He created this popular self-help book. The core concepts emphasize the power of desire, belief, and persistence. A whole bunch of other tools are in that book as well. It's a great book to learn different things from. Psychological validation of the book was concepts like goal setting and persistence align with modern psychology. Having a goal, working daily for it. I know you talk about it. You give a seminar on persistence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, be persistent, yeah.
Yeah, if you're waiting for them to call you, don't do that. We always talk about this in sales. Persistence, you got to get to the point of being persistent without being annoying, which means you also have to provide value. So when you do make that phone call, when you do have that contact, they see it as a valuable interchange of information.
Yeah, but also persistent with yourself to be disciplined and do every day something. If you know work this way, you go this way, but it's persistent and looking for your goal.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. What else do we have here? His legacy and influence. So this is part of the biography here. There was the Napoleon Hill Foundation, which was formed and established to promote Hill's philosophy of personal achievement. And you can see a lot of his works out there and people who have taken what he has taught and written and built their own motivational careers around it. Lasting impact. His ideas have influenced millions worldwide, as well as millions, not millions, but hundreds of gurus, motivational speakers. Positive psychology. His focus on resilience and positive thinking is supported by modern research as things that help in performance. So there's a lot of positive in there. With positive, there comes negative. And when we come back here after this break, we're going to talk a little bit about the controversy of Napoleon Hill on 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Today we're talking about Napoleon Hill, and I like to call it Think or To Not Think, To Think or To Not Think. But his book that is famous worldwide, and you can get it for free on the internet, just look it up, Think and Grow Rich, PDF, and there's multiple sites that offer it free. So you can get your reading of it. I bought the book years ago because I wanted to write in it and take notes and put post-it notes and highlight and learn different things in it. And so that's how I learn. It's hard to just read something electronically and get the same impact.
Yeah.
That's what I do. So here's some of the unquestionable, or should I say questionable, not unquestionable, the questionable claims of Napoleon Hill. That unverified mentorship, that there was no record that would confirm his actual mentorship by Carnegie, supposedly Carnegie taking him under his wing. Potentially, it was a story and not true, but this is the controversy. It could be, it might not be. Fabricated relationships. Critics suggest that Hill may have invented interviews with influential figures. We're going to usually talk about that, as part of the book talks about something very similar. And I think when we get to it, I would want to suggest to all of us that you can actually gain knowledge from people without actually talking with them. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? We'll talk about that. Also, biographical inconsistencies in his life, that there's been shifts in his life story which have raised questions about his credibility. That's partly. He had many business failures. So frequent failures. He faced multiple lawsuits, bankruptcies, and failed ventures in his lifetime. Contradiction in success claims. His personal financial struggles contradict with his teachings on wealth and also lessons in resilience. Some argue his setbacks, his failures, reveal valuable lessons in perseverance. That he kept going, he kept working at it, he kept trying different ways of being successful. And one of the most successful things that ever occurred for him was writing the book Think and Grow Rich. I don't know how much success he got from it, but millions of people have read the book and utilized...
Yeah, I used some technique. And
the techniques.
Yeah.
You remember it? Do you remember it well?
No, a lot. It's almost like the 40 years ago I read the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I read it multiple times and a couple of different versions of it, because there was like a versions where it would be just the book and then there'd be a version of it attached to something else by some other motivational speaker.
What is the best technique that you like from the book?
I found one that was really interesting, and I think we're going to go into the techniques and I'll save the real details of it. But one is where you create a council in your brain. So like when I was doing music years ago, I wanted to develop a style of music, and I took my favorite 10 artists, people like Sting and Bill Haley and the Comets and the Beatles, and 10 different styles of musicians, people who, like even Metallica, there were different genres of musicians. And what I did was really learned their music, how they wrote, the instrumentation, how they recorded, the sounds, like how you get those, that wall of guitars. And I focused on those 10. And then I could sit there and I say, how would, you know, I would talk to them in my mind and then say, how would you approach this? And then you'd get an idea from one of these 10 people. So the more you studied each of them individually, the more you learned about them and their background, their style, their skills, how they went to market or how they wrote, It would influence me in how I then made choices.
Okay.
So it would, and you can do this in anything. If you are in sales, you find 10 people in sales, potentially, maybe not necessarily in sales, but if you're in some field, you want to find some specialized knowledge from somebody who might be an engineer in the field you're in, somebody else who's in marketing in the field you're in, somebody else who you can see as an advisor, maybe somebody who would be a person that you want to sell to. And you say, hey, listen, I don't want to sell to you, but I would like to learn from you what you would need for me to sell you, meaning What are you looking for? And perhaps you can ask that question, but the other thing you can do is you can study those types of people, what they know, the knowledge they know, and then you can gain, your mind is so creative. So if you ask, once you know a lot, you know, say the biography of the person, you know what they've done, what they've accomplished, you know the subject matter that they are specialized in, you can ask them a question and you can listen to their answer. What you're doing actually is you're going inside your brain with neuroplasticity. You're creating these pockets of, I don't want to call them personalities. You're not going to have multiple personalities. But what you have is pockets of creativity that are stylized around different entities, different personalities than who you are. So you're basically looking outside yourself, but within yourself, for more creative answers in whatever field you're in.
Yes, like the, you have some question or situation, you can say, what is my mama saying in this situation? Mm-hmm. So you know how is your mama, how is the brain of your mama work, and then, oh, she maybe told me do that. How is my dad told me, or my brother, or my teacher in the high school, my philosophy, or my psychology, how told me. So this is the way that you can have conversation with yourself with many people that you know.
Exactly. And I've heard this as well, that people have bracelets that would have WWJD, which was what would Jesus do? Okay. And so when they face a situation where they're stressed or they don't know how to act, they maybe they pray or they meditate or they think about what would this person, what would Jesus, what would their religious
Buddha,
figure,
Buddha. Yeah.
What would their mentor do? And so instead of saying, what would I do? It's like, let me get this from a your brain is powerful enough to create answers when you ask yourself questions.
Yeah. And also you can find the question or the answer and sorry in the way, because when you are looking for something, maybe you watch a movie or you see some book and you read, oh, that is what I'm looking for. Sometimes it's casuality, but it's when you are open to looking for answers.
So when you know what you're looking for, I'm looking for this, and you've made it your own, made that question your own, like, I got to find this answer. Then, even when you're not really thinking about it, you might come across something, and boom, it hits you. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
So that's part of what we've talked about in the past, about when you have your vision board or your goals or the things that you're working towards, that when you know what they are, and this is really in parallel also with Think and Grow Rich, is that when you are focused on what you're trying to achieve, then you do find answers and you see answers everywhere, because the really, the universe is infinite in resources. But if we don't know what resources we're looking for, we don't see them, we don't recognize them. And if you remember, we talked about this, you first have to understand something before you can recognize it. We've talked about that before, is that if I don't even know what I'm looking for and I don't understand the concepts and the structure around it, when I see it, I won't know what it is. If there's a new animal that we've never, ever seen before and we see it, I don't know what it is. But if we've done a lot of research into a certain animal, we're going to find it faster, see it faster. It's like when you're looking for a car. You've heard this from us 100 times.
Yeah.
You're looking for a type of car. All of a sudden, you see them everywhere on the road. It's because your brain is very connected. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about emotions, too. There's a lot to talk about today. So we talked about resilience, right, with failure. So this was another thing that he's been criticized for, but this is interesting. He's criticized for his ideas may be borrowed from other people, which actually would be good because then there's some verification and some consistency in philosophy. In a way, he has similarities to earlier works. Concepts appear similar to those by authors like Emerson and Martin. Potential plagiarism, maybe, direct borrowing without attribution has been suggested by his critics. Are these original works or repackaged thoughts of others? This raises questions about the originality of Hill's philosophy. By the way, when we first read these books, we had no thought of the controversy. We read the book as because somebody told me, read the book. This is a good book. It's a really good book. And I found the book fascinating. Found it a little weird, too. A what is that, metaphysical or esoteric?
Esoteric.
It's supposedly also the foundation of the law of attraction in that book as well. So there's a lot of, if you read the book, and as he says in the book, if you reread it and reread the chapters and you see that there's a theme that goes on throughout the whole book. And if there's a chapter or two that you go, this is weird, ignore that chapter, keep going. There's good stuff in there. There's a couple of chapters that I find a little bit off base, but who knows? At that time, it may have been more fitting, but there is some really good information practices in there. So let's talk about their ideas on life. This is going back to Martin and Emerson, that their ideas on success, self-reliance, and inner potential predate Napoleon Hill and are very similar. So this is a little bit about Emerson and Martin. That Ralph Waldo Emerson and Orson Swett Marden influenced personal development prior to Napoleon Hill. Their key themes were individualism, personal responsibility, and positive thinking. All things that are seen within Think and Grow Rich. Emerson had thoughts about self-reliance and thought power, the power of the mind. At the core, individualism and self-trust, inner strength, drive success. Ooh, here's one. Thoughts are things. They're actual, the beginning of physical manifestation. Belief that thoughts shape reality, a concept Hill also echoed. And then your inner voice, emphasize self-faith and listening to inner guidance. And we just talked a little bit about that, right?
Yeah.
Inner guidance, but inner guidance from external figures. No, creativity.
Internal.
Mm-hmm. Internal, external, and it's really creating your brain to be more of a supercomputer. The more specialized knowledge you have, the more areas you study, the more people you know, the more personality differences there are in that group of counselors that you use, the more you have grown your brain to provide a more powerful pack of information that can guide you to the answers you're looking for.
Take a better decision.
You can. So what else did Marden talk about? Self-improvement focus. Books he did, Pushing to the Front and The Optimistic Life. They emphasize potential of every human being. Success consciousness, developing a mindset of achievement a precursor to hell. Persistent effort encouraged hard work, optimism, and goal mastery. So there is a lot of parallel there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, remember, Napoleon Hill read book after book after book and studied these things. He wanted to be successful. He wanted to share this information with others. I don't know for a fact. I didn't talk to him, but this is what it seems like.
But you use your mind.
I use my mind. He's in there somewhere.
Told you that.
Giving me advice. He lived all the way until 1970, so there are recordings of him, you know, from the 50s
really?
And 60s and 70s.
That's interesting to listen to him.
So he had a lot of influence on a lot of people. So what else did Martin do? We talked about resilience and optimism, like Hill's teaching, goal mastery, importance of setting and achieving ambitious goals. You know, make your goal ambitious. Desire as a fuel. Hill's burning desire concept mirrors Martin's goal focus. If you have a strong goal, a strong desire, it gives you more power to move, right? So your own desire.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like when you're on that first date with somebody and you have that chemistry. You know, there's a chemistry going on inside you. You know, call it desire, call it lust, but you want to be with that person. So if you can have that same kind of feeling with whatever that goal is you have, is like, I want to utilize my emotions to go towards that feeling. The point that I'll make is that emotions, when put with interest in a subject, create the ability to learn it faster. Emotions. And when you study something with a burning desire to learn it, and you know you're going to have to go through struggles anyway, right? So when you do that, emotion with learning creates long-term learning faster than just trying to learn in a very pristine, quiet environment. Now, is that good emotion or bad emotion? Like if you're angry, do you think you can learn while you're angry?
I guess not.
Not so good.
Difficult, yeah.
Remember, prefrontal cortex gets shut down in anger when those emotions of anger pop out. So let's see what is next on our list here. Oh, the mastermind group. Mastermind groups and collective power when you connect with other people. Collaboration. Emerson and Martin promoted like-minded associations. Be with a good, positive group. Martin's social influence. Emphasize supportive connections. Foundation for Hill's mastermind collective energy for success. So Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, talks both about an external mastermind group of like-minded individuals who can help each other in an endeavor, as well as an internalized group of characters that you create in your own mind.
Okay.
So there's the external and the internal. And most people don't do either. Imagine if you did a little bit of both and you worked on that specialized knowledge and learning helps you propel faster to your goal. Finally, we'll talk about a couple of legal issues. He was involved in some dubious schemes linked to projects with allegations of fraud, false claims of academic honors. He claimed titles and degrees that were unsubstantiated. All these things impacted his credibility. These issues have led to scrutiny of his work. So the message doesn't need to be thrown out. What did they say? Don't throw the message out. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
Which, well, what that kind of means is that the message can be true and have true impact, even if the person delivering the message may not be a mirror of the concepts.
Yeah.
They may be attempting to be successful and have at their disposal these great concepts, which have been echoed by others as well and have been used by others to gain success.
Yeah, but successful is something relative for mm-hmm. people. So he was successful to do a book. And now there's almost 100 years later, yeah. And the more than 100 years, and people talking about that.
A lot, yeah.
And not necessarily be rich is successful.
Yeah, and I think that's the point, is maybe the book turns a few people off, Think and Grow Rich. Maybe the grow rich part, forget about money, just rich, yeah. Rich in your life.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Maybe travel where you want to travel. Maybe it's having a family. Maybe it's
be peace
changing jobs.
Your mind. Be happy and, yeah. And balance life. Not necessarily has to be rich. So
it's learning to drive yourself, right? If you're a car, you're a vehicle. Mm-hmm. You're learning the brakes. You're learning the accelerator. You're learning where the steering wheel is, where the rearview mirror is, and where the front windshield is. And that's what these type of books do. They don't necessarily say you're going to do this and money's going to fall down from heaven. You're going to manifest this or that. That's not our concept. Our concept is that you can grow yourself. You can grow the things that make you feel good, whether it's learning to dance, learning music, being involved in an activity that you never were, mountain climbing, hiking, surfing.
Yeah.
Right? So these can be things that give you a rich life.
Exactly.
So that's that. And we'll leave those. And when we come back, we're going to go over our 90-day soulmate. Key concepts inspired by Think and Grow Rich, and what we think their impact can be on you and we. Be right back. 90 Day Soulmate is brought to you by 90 Day Solutions. Welcome back to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Jim.
Today we're talking about Napoleon Hill and the book Think and Grow Rich, to which we say to think or to not think. That's the question.
That's the answer.
So we have 12 concepts that we like and we wanted to share with you. They're within the book, kind of. And they'll give you an idea, the flavor of the book. If you've read it already, you'll remember these. And if not, it will kind of give you an idea of what could be in it. But this is our take and our flavor, what we got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll start off with 1, desire. And we talked about that a little bit. That defining a clear vision, desire motivates action and anchors commitment. Setting a goal, visualize your ideal outcome with clarity and passion. So a clear goal. Expected results, increases focus and goal achievement. So having a desire, being able to write it out, being able to be clear about it, helps you achieve it. It helps you motivate yourself to achieve it.
Yeah.
That was it. That's 1. So we have 12 items here. So that's 1. Slide 11 is concept 1, which means slide 12 is concept 2. Slide 12, faith and belief. Once you have desire and you have that idea of what you're trying to achieve, whatever it may be, faith and belief, they solidify confidence and persistence. You can build faith by using affirmations, surround yourself with positive influences or influencers, unlike YouTube and social media influencers, people who are part of your mastermind group or people who are trying to help you rather than talk down about your idea. Outcomes, strong belief is associated with greater resilience and action. People believe things, right? People achieve things that they believe,
yeah,
with far greater success than when they don't believe. If they don't believe it's possible, why even try it?
That's just a belief.
Yeah.
And how?
So yeah, I can't do it, so I'm not going to try. You know, I believe I can do it, and I fell. I still believe I can do it, and I fell. I still believe that I can do it. Hey, I'm riding this thing.
Yeah.
So belief is very important. What's the next one? The next one is definiteness of purpose. Why purpose matters. Clarity of purpose provides a roadmap for success. Setting a purpose. Define specific, meaningful goals that resonate deeply. So we first had the major goal, but now you have these sub-goals that fit with you on your path. The benefits are purpose-driven individuals achieve higher satisfaction and reduced stress. I think we talked about this a couple of months ago, that when you have little goals and that you reward yourself when you reach those goals, you program your brain to try to automatically achieve the next goal.
Yeah.
That you learn the behavior that you reward yourself when you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So having a definiteness of purpose and small steps along the way. Number four, which is slide 14, emotional connection. This is really more of our focus than the Napoleon Hill focus, but emotions as drivers. Emotional investment boosts motivation and commitment. How to connect. Visualize success and focus on why it matters personally. Results. Emotional connection enhances resilience and goal achievement. When you're doing something with passion,
you put all emotion in something that you want to do.
Yeah, and you're happy about it. If you're dealing with the public and you really enjoy what you're doing, they see that you enjoy what you're doing, they want to be part of it, they want to be part of your business. If you have no emotional connection to what you're doing, you're just like, yeah, if you want to take it, if you don't leave, that might be actually be, what you've seen that, like there's a bar where they treat you badly and people go to it because they like being treated badly. Yeah. But that is actually their mission, to treat you badly. And people know that and they love it. But that, again, is what is their purpose? The emotion that they're trying to create is they're trying to create some kind of emotion, not only for themselves, but for the people they're interacting with. Emotions are contagious. We are mirroring people. We mirror each other.
Yeah.
Persistence. Oh, Lizette, tell me about persistence. When you stay the course.
Persistence is keep going. And again, it's mixing challenge to see what are you looking for and have the discipline to do every day something. So maybe you not do, I am really challenging myself to put at least 10 topics they need to cover in the day. You know, maybe I cover 6, 7, but I put the other 3 the next day and I do again and I do again. And this is a reward for myself because I am so happy when I
cross something off.
Because I finished that. So that is persistent. What else do you have?
Well, it talks about small steps. So we talked about that already. Small steps in persistence mean you're doing a little bit, a little bit, a little bit every day. It's called the 1% improvement. If you can improve by 1% every day by the end of the year, that's 365%. Well, it's not really because it's exponential. So if you just add a little bit of knowledge, you add a little bit of more time that you spend on whatever you're trying to achieve, just a little bit more than you did before, it exponentially grows, especially as you learn new information, as your brain becomes more impactful, more knowledgeable, more special. Again, specialized knowledge. The more experience and specialized knowledge you have in what you're doing, the easier it is for you to keep moving in that direction.
Yeah, and also this is like the I do for ISO, that you have a mission in your company, but and the mission need to support for one objective, and the objective need to have a metrics and indicators, you know. So one indicator maybe here is just walking 3 miles every day because your big target is live longer.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. The mission. So it's like that. You need to align. Sometimes people say, I want to live longer. But when you're coming down, you know, walking, you know, eat well, you know, do your smoking. And they say, it's contradiction. Yeah.
So have the goal, but have the small sub goals in there, which is I got to eat well. I got to exercise every day. For me, sometimes it's like, okay, I want to exercise. Part of it is just get to the gym. Because once you're at the gym, you'll exercise. But if you're worried about, like, you know, I really don't feel like running today, okay, don't worry about it. Get to the gym and do something, right? Yeah. So it's doing those little steps. And then as you get a little bit more into shape, maybe then you have that motivation. And also, if you can say, you know, how do I make this enjoyable?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's enjoyable when you see a little bit of success, when you have that little success and you reward yourself.
Mm-hmm. And the list. Make your list.
Make your list. What do we have? Oh, specialized knowledge. How many times have we said this? Specialized knowledge, the importance of expertise. Knowledge builds confidence and increases effectiveness. How to gain it? Pursue learning through books, courses, and mentors. Benefits, specialized skills make you move competent and competitive. It makes you move, make you more competent and competitive. And it makes you move too, because you're motivated. For me, I was in sales for about 25 years, sales engineering, and I really didn't like calling people cold, calling people. I really liked people calling me and saying, hey, I have this problem, can you help me? How did I get myself in the situation where I got people to call me? Is I started to go to industry events and ask if I could do a presentation. In my presentation, I would try to present on a subject with specialized knowledge that many others in my industry didn't have. So I tried to become more and more knowledgeable, so then people would then ask questions of me. And then they'd say, hey, I have this problem. What do you think? And now I have specialized knowledge. It's easier for me to have that contact and that communication. For me, who didn't like that cold call or that contact with somebody who you had to try to convince that you had value, it was much easier when they already knew your background, your experience, and the knowledge you had.
Yeah.
What else do we have here? Valuable relationships, the mastermind group. So the mastermind group, it would be a group of people who are like-minded, amplifies your success with support and accountability. You've heard of accountability partners. Creating a group, form a network of individuals with aligned goals, results, enhances motivation and problem-solving abilities. Say you're in the recording industry. You might not want to, if you're a producer, you don't want to set yourself up with three or four other producers, but maybe you find somebody who's an engineer and somebody who's a studio musician and somebody who's a marketing person for record labels. And you find different people that when you help each other, you all grow together. And I've seen people do this in sales reps, where you'll have sales reps who are in different things for home improvement. Somebody who does roofing, somebody who does siding, somebody who does lawn and garden care, somebody who does driveways. And they all kind of get together and go, hey, the same people who buy something from you could use my service as well. How do we work together? Maybe share leads, speak highly of each other, work together. That becomes your mastermind group.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in or you're out. You all do a good job. You all do good work. We're all motivated. Let's keep this going. It enhances motivation and problem-solving abilities by having a network of people with similar goals. How about confidence? Confidence is a foundation for action. When you have confidence, it encourages risk-taking and persistence, because with specialized knowledge and confidence, a risk becomes less risky. Building it, use positive self-talk and set achievable milestones. Benefits, confident individuals are more likely to achieve their goals.
Mm-hmm. Again.
It's true. But the confidence, you can't just be confident and not have something backing it. It's easier to have something backing it first, and then the confidence actually is a natural component of experience.
Yeah.
So as you increase your knowledge, your connections, your abilities, confidence will just exude, will come right out of you. And it, you know, people say fake it till you make it. Well, it's easier to fake it until you make it, until somebody asks you a question you can't answer.
Yeah.
So you need to learn it before you fake it, before you make it. What else do we have here? Subconscious programming. We always talk about the power of the subconscious. Auto-suggestion strengthens belief and motivation. Practicing it, repeat affirmations and visualize your desired success. Reframes limiting beliefs and promotes positive change. The other thing it does is, by talking to yourself and having it become part of your subconscious. Your subconscious then is always working in the background. It's like the computer that's always analyzing what's going on. And when it sees something that could be useful to you, you'll recognize it because you understand it. In order to understand it, you got to know what would be helpful to you and what's useful and what are the questions you're looking to have answers for.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one that he talks about in that book, Subconscious Programming. He calls it auto-suggestion. We call it subconscious programming because that is part of how we look at it. Organized planning. Planning for success. Organized planning simplifies the path to goals. Rather than just talking about something, write it down. There's so many people we talk to who, when you say, hey, write something down, do this, and let's talk on Friday, there's going to be one in four people who will actually do it. The others will talk and talk and talk about what they want to achieve and what they want to work on. But we say, just write it down. It's almost like they're afraid to make that commitment to themselves
because mm-hmm.
they don't want to disappoint themselves. But the way to not disappoint yourself is write it down, get organized, and plan those little steps of becoming more knowledgeable.
Yeah, I like this part in the book of Stephen Covey when planning. He has a pretty good technique.
So we'll maybe do Stephen Covey in an upcoming show. How about transmitting and receiving the law of attraction? So the brain is a transmitting and receiving set, like in the law of attraction. It's the power of positive thinking. Positive focus attracts favorable conditions because you're seeing and recognizing them. When you're in a positive frame of mind, you're looking for things that will affect you positively. Applying it, visualize and focus on what you desire, not what you fear. Builds resilience and improves social outcomes. We've talked about this. When you're riding a motorcycle, you want to look to where you're going, not what you're trying to avoid. Because if you look at what you're trying to avoid, you sometimes steer towards it, or you actually don't go to where you want to go. You actually hit something else. So focus on where you want to go,
mm-hmm.
not where you don't want to go.
Good.
There's a lot of analogies we could use on that, but it builds resilience, improves social outcomes. Creating your dream team, and we talked about in the mind, imaginary counselors, imaginary mentors improve inspiration. Using this method, visualize guidance from trusted mentors in decision making. Enhances creativity, problem solving, and confidence. So these are where you are focusing on certain people whose traits that you respect. That you want to take on, say, the traits of George Washington or the traits of Bill Gates or whomever it is. And I'm not saying these are people that I have want of taking on their traits. You find out who in your field or in the endeavor that you're undertaking that you want to learn from, and you start reading their biographies. You start seeing about their business. You start looking at news articles, and you get that collective group of people and personalities programmed into your mind, and then you ask them questions in your mind. So it's internal creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And build your brain, and you can have these imaginary counselors help you out. Conclusion on this is that the enduring influence of Hill's teachings, despite controversies, his ideas continue to inspire. Whether they're his ideas, or he just put them down on paper, or it's kind of a combination of many things. Critical reflection. Assess the value of Hill's principles within the context of your own life. Don't let us tell you they're good. Don't let us tell you they're bad. Figure out for yourself. These are these things that you can do to add to your tools that you have at your disposal,
mm-hmm.
right? And then finally, a path to growth. Embrace the concepts that resonate and apply them on your personal journey.
Take action.
Does that make sense? And take action. So we suggest read the book, go through it, See what makes sense to you. Read it a couple of times. In fact, you may be like kind of thoroughly confused the first time. But there are concepts that go over and over and over and over in the book. Finally, we think by subconscious programming, by building your brain, we think the book should also should be called something like To Think or Not to Think, or To Think or Not Think. Meaning, once you've programmed this into your brain, it becomes more of a subconscious programming of yourself to automatically, what is it? It's almost like manifesting. So this is actual the scientific theory behind manifesting, which is it's actually a normal psychological concept. And hope that you learned something as we did in this presentation. Thanks for listening to 90 Day Soulmate with Lizette
and Tim.
You're listening to 90 Day Soulmate with the Relationship Engineers, Jim Golnick and Lizette Guevara, only on LA Talk Radio.